Welcome to Hail Varsity Radio, the voice of Husker Nation. Insight, opinion, expertise, with the biggest and best names talking Nebraska across the state. Join the show on Twitter at Hail Varsity and at Schmitz underscore radio. Call in at 402-466-ESPN or 1-800-825-5865. Here's Chris Schmitz.
Have you in Roadshow Friday here with Hail Varsity Radio, presented by the Nebraska Lottery. We are at Longwell's down in the rail yard. We being Chris Schmidt and the coach, Jeff Smith, longtime coach at Southeast and assistant at Nebraska during the knee era, can tap the line. Chilling Bridge Cork and Tap House lets you do that. 466-3776, 466-3776, 800-825-5865. Twitter may be easier for you, at Hail Varsity, at Schmidt underscore radio is where you can find us. Chris at HailVarsity.com. Plenty of room for you to react to what you saw in New York City with Nebraska falling 77-58 to Michigan. And what a difference a day makes, Coach. The way Michigan shot it, the fear that was happening 24 hours ago that, well, man, Nebraska may not get a shot at Michigan. You fast forward to now, and maybe you're wishing for Iowa. Nebraska needed one of those statement wins. Nebraska needed one of those kind of validation moments. And there's a lot of things that can happen, will happen, and do happen in postseason tournaments. But from a Nebraska standpoint, result-wise, there's a win or a loss out there. But how do you look in the win? How do you look in the loss? Nebraska thoroughly beaten. Offense didn't travel. Defense wasn't bad, but it wasn't great. And Nebraska right now, not even nobody nationally sticking up. There were few anyway sticking up for them from an NCAA tournament standpoint. But to 22-10, and that last impression you make to the committee and some on hand in New York City, pretty tough to swallow if you're Tim Miles in Nebraska.
Yeah, it's tough. I know Husker fans are disappointed. I know the team's disappointed. We've been there before. I would have taken 22-10 at the start of the season, but I know just being so close and maybe one win away from this one, or maybe fouling a couple times in the Kansas game, right, the big fella, would have made a difference too. But it's tough because you just don't want to lose that way. You know, you want to go down in an overtime game and show the committee you can play with this group. I do think from a coaching standpoint, looking at it from the outside a little bit, odds are somewhat against you going in this game. You played a great game here at PBA. They played below average for Michigan. They shot the ball poorly. Their coaching staff's going to make, when you lose a game, you're going to make twice the adjustments that you're going to make when you win. Why is Nebraska going to go change their game plan when you beat them by 20 at your place? You felt like the kids executed it. You had made some really good double teams in the post. You handled Wagner really well. So why are you going to go change your game plan? But when you play like Michigan did here, you're tearing everything apart in that game, and you're going to be ready for the 1-3-1 zone. You're going to see where you can get better shots for Wagner and some of those guys, Abdul-Rahman. And that's what they did. And they maybe got some of it out of their system last night, and Nebraska in this first game didn't. So a lot of factors, but hopefully we can get in some kind of tournament and make a run and build. And I want this group back. I want them all back.
Yeah, I'm going to preach.
I don't know these guys, but I'm going to write them a letter and say, please come back to Nebraska basketball because you guys are special. And you turn this thing around. I know we want to get the NCAA tournament, but you guys turn this thing around. Let's stay with it, because you can be a really special team next year. Maybe in the NIT, whatever we get, take it and run with it.
That's Jeff Smith, longtime coach, Lincoln Southeast and Nebraska basketball. Chris Schmidt, we're here at Longwell's across from PBA. It is semifinal Friday. Lots of folks here down for the watch party we had for Nebraska, Michigan. And a chance for you to react to Nebraska's loss. Did you see it coming? Are you bitterly PO'd? Are you somewhere in between? And you still hold out hope. There's an A, B, C, and D. And you ask Mr. Doherty at Southeast, my math teacher. I was way better at multiple choice than the actual questions for math. So we're giving a little multiple choice. Derek Peterson at HailVarsity.com will be with us in about an hour and 15 minutes. We'll have the Friday forecast. Danny Burke will have some games we can discuss for this weekend. Here is the rundown. Nebraska missing 19 of 20 shots during the stretch, a stretch, an important stretch in the first half. Fell behind 18, did not recover, unable to do so. And Michigan showed why they are Michigan. Nebraska came in with an RPI of 59, 6 wins over teams with winning records. They fell down 33-15 late in the first half. Nebraska, though, cut that deficit to 10 by halftime, a 9-1 spurt for Nebraska to end that first half. And at one point in the 14-minute mark, it always seems like there's been some pivotal moments for Nebraska basketball this season. At that 14-minute mark in the second half, they were down 40-33, but Michigan got a three, crushed another three. We'll run down some stats. Coach, you have some of those. But the build, the lead got built back up to 15 in about 3.5 minutes, got to 16. And Nebraska really just had no offense. The things that made this team go this year, first and foremost, their emphasis on three-point shooting defense. And Michigan was hot, was clean, was confident, and immediately hit a 6-0 spurt that turned into a 9-0 spurt after Nebraska went up 9-5. The first 4.5 minutes or so, Nebraska looked okay. I can't count how many missed shots Nebraska had at the rim. They tried to get to the rim. They only had at one point, pretty deep into the first half, 5 3-point attempts. So it wasn't let's catch it and jack a three here, Petaway style, and that's a tip of the cap to Petaway because they went in. But Nebraska just was out of sorts. Glenn Watson quoted here, and we'll try and get some post-game audio for you in hour two. But it wasn't nerves. I don't believe that. This team looked 1,000% different. They looked like they looked against Illinois, except it was against Michigan, and shots weren't falling. The drives to the rim weren't falling. Honestly, I think this Nebraska team, they were looking for some contact, looking for some calls. When that didn't happen, they were either sped up with some of their shots at the rim, and then they'd turn and stop and look for a call. Maybe it should have happened, but Michigan played tough. Michigan, the tougher team. Michigan, the experienced team. And Michigan, a team. And if you look at Wagner, he probably put on his mirror, similar to Stallone in Rocky IV, the picture of Drago, because you had all that time, all that poking of Wagner, calling him Wagner. He remembered what happened to PBA at the end of January. He wasn't going to let it happen again. And, Coach, I think you nailed it with Michigan coming out, having some sea legs after going 3-19 from three-point land yesterday. They had a better feel for the arena. That sounds like a cheap excuse, but the way Nebraska shot the basketball, I don't think I'm wrong in that. 466-377-6800, 825-5865 can tap the line. Schillingbridge Court can tap house. Do you still hold out hope for Nebraska to get in, or is it NIT City, baby? The NIT unis were in full force today with kind of the throwback Converse, now Adidas unis. Coach, I hit on a lot of things there, but I thought this team looked deer in the headlights.
Yeah, you know, this game's tough when shots don't fall, especially in a tournament setting when you know you have that much on the line. It's natural to pucker up a little bit. Yes. It just is. And it's natural to go a little more individual, not selfish, just try really hard to make individual plays. And I noticed our assists, we only had like 5 today.
Yeah.
So maybe ball movement slows down a little bit. Guys are trying to make plays, putting it on the floor. I did like the fact that we only took 16 threes, because sometimes you can just jack them and try to shoot your way back in it. I think the coaches and the players knew they had to take the ball to the rim. They shot free throws well. That was one positive.
That's why they got the line at least a lot.
Exactly. Might have been uglier if they didn't. The three-point defense has been pretty solid all year. I went and watched Cleveland Cavaliers practice last year because Tyronn Lue let us come in. And I was shocked that they were running guys off the three-point line. They were leaving their feet. So Tyron took us to dinner after, and I asked him, I said, you want your guys leaving your feet like that and running and running by guys? He said the best shot that we can give up defensively is a pull-up two off the dribble. We can't let them get the rim because they're going to dunk it on us. But NBA, so, and I think that's kind of the mentality that Nebraska used this year, was run guys off the line. Unfortunately, today, for some reason, without studying the film, I don't know, Michigan got open. And they had good looks against us, which was a little bit unusual for Nebraska this year. And they knocked them down.
You tell me this from a coaching aspect. What's your counter to what Nebraska did to shut down that Michigan pick and pop? Nebraska switched and switched and switched. Well, there were some times where it looked like Palmer and Copeland or Roby or even Glenn didn't make the switch, and there were some nice drives, a lot of points in the paint. I think close to 30 for Michigan, and a lot of those they weren't Michigan. You know, it wasn't vintage. Let's throw it down low and two power dribbles and a turnaround J. No, it was drives to the rack that Michigan got by on some high ball screens. What's the counter, in your opinion, in your theory? What Beeline come up with the counter? Now, Nebraska, it didn't look like they were communicating well or were as focused, locked in, or able to execute one of those choices in this first half. And Michigan always had an answer because, yes, Michigan was able to drive and kick or pick and pop for some shots. Michigan shot it well, but Nebraska wasn't the same team with those switches. How do you, if you're Michigan, counter that, explain the result other than, yeah, they're top 15 good?
Yeah, we've talked about on balls are huge in basketball right now because they just create mismatches. You can split them, get penetration. You can defend on balls seven or eight ways. Switching is probably the easiest way. Although, if, like you said, if you don't communicate, you're sunk.
You're wide open. There's a guy open in the corner for three.
Some teams are starting to what they call ice or blue screens on balls. That's really popular on the wing where you don't let the offensive player use the screen. People are starting to do that in the middle of the floor too. Now, you may give up a little penetration by that guard, but the defender of the screener is there to help and stop penetration. You've just got to recover quick. Bigs that can shoot, like Michigan has, when they pick and pop, that's danger. It's got danger written all over it because you've got to close out. Another way you might have to do it is a backside guy rotate up to the screener, and then when you recover out of the screen, you got to go find the open man. Another way you can do it is double team. But again, if you got a good guard with the ball, which a lot of these Big Ten guards are, he's going to find people, and then you get open threes too. So there's no true answer. Some coaches have different colors or things they call out, and they can switch on the fly. I don't know if Nebraska's that far advanced, or again, if you're playing a little tight, your communication drops off, and then you screw up a couple screens, and it's when they're shooting the way they're shooting, you're in trouble. So on balls are something that teams work on daily to defend, and everybody's running them. And the thing is, people set them in different areas and different ways, you know, pick and roll, pick and pop, pick and rescreen. And a lot of people will set a screen and then screen into the action, so defender's already helping on something else, and then they got to get out there and try to hedge or double or switch. That makes it tough too. So a lot of things can happen with pick and roll.
There were some instances where Glenn got matched up on a switch with Wagner, and he did his thing. I just thought there was a lot of kind of why me type body language by Nebraska towards the officials. And I'm not going to lie. I mean, I don't think the officials were great, but they weren't noticeably bad. They weren't the worst, right? So, and that's total fan take of, well, hey, the refs host us, right? I mean, you're going to go to that. You're down 13. You're not hitting a damn thing, shooting the ball, and then the Zebras are out to get you. I mean, you go bang, bang, bang down the list of the why me. And I just thought the body language of Nebraska wasn't great. Some more numbers here. You look at Nebraska, and Glenn 4 of 12, took some tough jump shots.
Can we talk about Glenn for just a second?
Let's spend as much time. We have about 90 seconds here. We'll come back with more on Glenn next segment, but let's start off with him. I thought, let me just say this. I think for him to transition like he has to be a facilitator and a defender versus a top scorer, that dude could have put a grenade in the locker room, and that's typical with some of the me-first attitudes you see in ball. I think he's been a great teammate this year. That said, he finished with 10, but it was a volume 10 again.
Yeah. Here's my thing with Glenn. I love his assist-to-turnover ratio. He's only had 46 turnovers all year. That's amazing
that's
in the
nuts.
Level of basketball he's playing. He's 2-1 assist-to-turnover ratio. That's exactly what you want. He's over. I think he's 2.2. That's what you want in a point guard. He defends for his size. I think he defends
very well.
He's got good feet. He gets a little reachy sometimes, and it caught up to him a little bit today. But my thing with Glenn is he's a pull-up jump shooter around the elbow, 15 feet. That's his. And he can go float and get to the rim every once in a while. But his size catches up to him there a little bit. You saw the big block today. Glenn has to get – he's got to go in the gym this summer. He's got to get fundamentally sound shooting the ball. You look at his shoulders. His shoulders are falling back about 80% of the time when he shoots threes. It's different every time. He doesn't follow through half the time. And I think Glenn's a great player, but his offensive game has to get more discipline.
Okay, we'll stay more with Glenn.
Let's do.
Watson. That's Coach Jeff Smith, Chris Schmidt, Hail Varsity on the road at Longwells, presented by the Nebraska Lottery.
And now, back to Hail Varsity Radio.
Tough one for Nebraska basketball today. The watch party, a lot of fun, except for the result. Nebraska falls to Michigan and likely seals their next reservation, maybe for another home game at PBA for the NIT. 9 days of waiting as the Huskers get bounced, and a lot of things can happen, could have happened, but the one thing that you couldn't have happen was getting dismantled that thoroughly by Michigan and lose by near 20. Chris Schmidt, the coach. Jeff Smith, longtime Southeast coach you know and love, and a longtime assistant at Nebraska basketball here at Longwells. Post-game reaction to Nebraska falling to Michigan. Michigan ready. Nebraska looked. They may deny it being tight, but you see highlights here on the Big Ten Network. Wagner on the block just played like a beast, and a lot of loose balls and points in the paint. Drive, kick, open, and rotation slow there. Coach, you spent a little bit of time, and the great head fake there by Wagner to get baseline here. You were talking about what Glenn needs to do, what he does exceptionally well, but that next step for him as a senior to be. We'll get in here next segment on how and if you can keep this roster together, because it's really not happened with Coach Miles, to be honest with you. That needs to happen. You pleaded for it early.
But maybe that's why some of the guys left last year, because they saw this talent. We've talked about that before.
Yeah, absolutely.
And I got to say one other thing.
Yeah.
Watching Wagner highlights, don't poke the bear.
Right.
I know the students were having fun here. That was great when we were here. But like you said, I think Wagner had that in the back of his mind.
Wagner had a picture of Herbie or Little Red on his mirror as he was reenacting Rocky IV.
Exactly.
Watson needs to do what to make Nebraska more complete, because the scoring went south, the volume numbers went south, and his pull-up game was just off, and he was so tough. The last 10-12 games around the rim at finishing, and tough not in a good way, tough in like a $4 steak.
I'm with you on also, you mentioned his accepting of kind of a changed role, and that's hard.
And that shifted midseason.
Yeah, it did, and I think, I'm assuming in high school the kid probably scored a lot of points and took a lot of shots, and, he's playing with a lot of talent now, so he's kind of relearning how to play point with all this talent on an NBA style team. I'm not saying all these guys are in the NBA, but it's different. I do think he can see the floor a little better when he penetrates, and probably find guys a little better, something to work on. But my biggest thing is consistency point guards always have to take what's given to them. There's nights when people guard the point guard and don't let him get it back, and they're not going to let you penetrate. They're going to double you coming off ball screens. And there's other teams that forget about you once you pass the ball and start your offense, and they forget about you. Point guards have to be able to knock down open shots when they leave them open. If they're so into guarding Palmer and Roby and Cope, then he's got to be able to knock down open shots. And if that was a slump, that was a long slump this year, you know. And I believe all players are cyclic. You know, I think Palmer was in a little bit of a down cycle here at the end of the season, just shooting the ball. But so I think Glenn's got to go back and look at film of himself shooting and film himself a little bit shooting and get back. And I'm sure the coaching staff will do that and probably have talked about that already. But they'll film him. They'll get his arc more consistent. We really do look for a 45-degree arc. There's machines you can put on your gym wall that'll tell you every shot what the arc is, and you can start developing that consistency. But I think a lot of it starts with his feet, getting his feet set, having a good same base every time, same extension and follow through every time, shoulders going forward instead of backwards. And I know sometimes at this level you got to create a little bit, shot clock shots get you sometimes and hurt your percentage, but that discipline of shooting's got to be part of his development. Not to say he has to shoot a ton of shots next year, but he's got to make his shots next year. He's got to get that percentage up.
He absolutely does. Copeland had a tough go, and he's a guy who's experienced and he's played in the Garden. That said, this was kind of a first rodeo for a lot of guys. And you look at Twitter here and social media, there's a lot of words and ways to describe Michigan's win today, 77-58, soul-crushing. And this reminds me a lot of the 98-99 Nebraska team. A lot of talent right there. You swept Kansas that year. But when push came to shove, Kansas put a 30 spot, a couple elbow shots to your eye socket in the Big 12 tournament that year. Nebraska was a team that had a bye that year. And then Kansas kind of, I think KU ended up as a 4 seed, right? When's the last time KU was a 4 seed? Well, 20-something years ago. Well, this team is good enough to hang. But I was concerned coming in, how would Nebraska react away from home in a big game against a big opponent? Nebraska's reacted well away from home against some teams that just, they are better than. Yep. And I know Rutgers caught a little bit of lightning. I know Wisconsin's played tooth and nail twice in the last 7 days against Michigan State. I know Rutgers is all of a sudden, you know, New York's adopted team. But when push comes to shove, you just didn't have really any quality road wins against high-level competition. This wasn't in Ann Arbor, but this was in New York City, and you were a far cry from what you've looked like at PBA in some of these kind of response statement type kind of validation games. Penn State and Michigan, you were 2-0 at PBA. Today, you got throttled.
And this, honestly, this isn't much different than beating them by 20 here and going back to their place later in the league.
Having them do it to you.
Yeah, it's not much different. My thing, too, from my coaching experience, college and high school, first-round tournament games are the hardest ones to win. I don't care if it's at a state tournament, it's at the Big 8 tournament back when I coached, Big 12, you know, Big 10. First-round tournaments sometimes, and I know that from NCAA tournaments, too,
yeah,
because we didn't get one, they are tough to win. I'd give anything to go back to our 91 team and beat Xavier, if we could have made that shot at the end against their zone after that comeback. Because I don't know, I really would have just loved to see that team would have relaxed. I would love to see how far we could go, but unfortunately we didn't get to do that. And sometimes this first round game, you're just tight, just like Michigan was yesterday. You're tight. And I'm not making excuses for them.
But there's a fact to it.
But you can't go 1-for-20 in any stretch against a 15th-ranked team in the country. You just can't do that to beat them. We didn't do it here. We controlled tempo. We scored consistently, shot it well, defended a little bit better. But in this game today, that didn't happen. You go on a they go on a run on us like that, and you miss some shots at the rim, and then it can't do that against a top 15 team. There's no way.
The thing that Michigan didn't go off. They didn't pull a Maryland on Nebraska today shooting the ball. That said, Nebraska just didn't have any opportunity to get going from a tempo and a push standpoint. How many times when Nebraska's been a team you sit back and smile about this year, was it because Roby get the board, he'd either keep it or outlet it, and JP would get to the rim, okay? And you just had very few opportunities in transition, and if you did, it seemed like Nebraska faded a bit with their finishing ability in transition, and credit teams they played too, because they adjusted to Nebraska really post Maryland. Really was the first team that last four or five game stretch. That took a lot out of Palmer, I think, too. That 26, 28 points in the second half to get that half-to-half win. I honestly think that poor guy carried a lot of water and was just not the same down the stretch, even though he was still really, really good.
Yeah, you know, I think teams were searching throughout the year, scouting report-wise, on what's the book on Nebraska. Teams develop kind of a scouting book on you. Take this away, take this guy away, deny this guy. Don't let Palmer get to the rim as much as you can. You know, be physical with Copeland and try to keep him out of the paint, posting up and challenge his threes. You know, Glenn, maybe back off a little bit, let him take that late challenge three. So, you know, Nebraska had a lot of new guys, and people were kind of searching for scouting reports for effectiveness against Nebraska. I thought last three or four games, you know, they did a few different things with Palmer, real physical on his drives, helping a little quicker, so he had to give
it
up some.
Two guys at him.
Yeah, and then, you know, Glenn kind of letting him take some shots if he wanted to from the perimeter, because they're looking at percentages, and, you know, maybe getting after Roby a little bit more and boxing him out. I thought Michigan boxed him out pretty good today. He's been so good on the offensive glass, just tipping it out. So, and that's going to happen. And a good staff like Michigan, they're going to study and study. People could kind of see this game coming about 2 weeks ago, right? So you got one or two assistants on Nebraska for 2 weeks, and don't tell me they didn't prepare for Nebraska a little bit. That showed in yesterday's game against Iowa.
I think you're right? on.
Yeah. So, you know, that makes a difference. And scouting reports eventually can catch up to you a little bit. Teams can kind of figure you out at this level of basketball.
A thought here, and I'm not asking you to go armchair on Coach Miles, but what didn't happen, we spent a little bit of time opening segment on Nebraska and how the switches that worked at PBA didn't work in Madison Square Garden today. When Nebraska did switch to a 1-3-1, it seemed to spark them a bit. They didn't come out in it. They played man to start the second half, and then they went back to a 1-3-1 and kind of got close again. But the danger here of the change-up pitch to me has been that 1-3-1, knowing when to use it and then get what you need out of it to spark you defense to offense. What's the danger of going to it and just sticking with it against Michigan versus going back to man? And really, you were trying anything and everything to try and ignite your offense.
And I don't know if it's a danger, but it's hard to sit in a zone when you're behind. It just is, because they can play a little catch. They can run a little clock. They can kind of pick you apart. The pressure's on the defense instead of the offense. When you're 14 in the hole or 10 in the hole and you're sitting in zone as a coach, you're just feeling like, we got to get out and get up on people full court a little bit. We got to get in the lanes. That's the danger. I mean, it's just a tough call.
It's hard to be aggressive when you're waiting for something to happen.
It is. And I thought Michigan started using the high post quite a bit against it. And the baseline's weak in that 1-3-1 zone we run. And they were figuring that out. They had one they threw out of bounds. But if the guy would have gone the basket, that would have been a huge dunk along the baseline.
That's Jeff Smith, Chris Schmidt. We're here at Longwell's. Hail Varsity continues, presented by the Nebraska Lottery.
Miss us?
Come here, brother. Give me a hug. Bring it in for the real thing.
We're on call for you. Catch the podcast at HailVarsity.com, the ESPN Lincoln app, or download them on iTunes.
Saddle up, partner.
Back to Hail Varsity Radio.
Great to have you back. Hail Varsity Radio presented by the Nebraska Lottery. Roadshow Friday. We were at Longwell's down in the rail yard. Come on by. Spend some time. It's just a great weekend for tournament action. Not a great day for Nebraska basketball, falling by 19 to Michigan. Derek Peterson of Hail Varsity going to be with us in about 40 minutes or so. Coach Jeff Smith, longtime assistant in Nebraska, excellent coach, Hall of Famer with Lincoln Southeast, is riding shotgun. We'll have Lincoln East girls tonight for state basketball action, and we're talking Nebraska. I'll get to some of your emails here, Chris at HailVarsity.com, and some of your tweets. Jay has tweeted in, total Nebraska move, felt bad about today, and paraphrasing him, that just could feel this coming. Coach, when you hear that, does that wear you out as a former Nebraska basketball assistant? You know the climate around it with the era you're associated with four straight NCAA tournaments, the Pike years, the Lou years, Coach Nee, and the marvelous job you and his staff did. That said, you just have this defeatist, when's the other shoe going to drop? Oh, my God, I'm covering my eyes and ears waiting for something bad to happen. I mean, people were telling me as we were here for the watch party, they thought poor Pavelka was going to stab somebody in the neck. I mean, he was, you know, just how down he can sound.
Yeah, his heart is into it all the time. Yes. I mean, he lives it and he cares about it, and we all do. And I think we're all waiting for that day that we can get that first NCAA tournament.
Will we get our documentary made about us?
Exactly. But, hey, you know, we have the facility.
Yes.
Facilities, you know, practice and PBA. We have the fan base.
Yeah.
And it's going to happen. I mean,
it'll happen to the Cubs, right?
You don't know how bad, you know, former coaches, former players, and maybe we want it too much. You know, I listened to Bo on the show and Andy and Jake, and we all want it. We do. But I think this group, like I said, made some really good strides. You can't control your schedule totally. It would have been nice to play Michigan State at home, Purdue at home. I mean, that would have been great.
Or Ohio State.
Yeah. And like I said, that Kansas game just, you know, it's going to come back to haunt us, unfortunately. But, yeah, everybody hurts here, everybody wants this. But, you know, these kids are the ones that are living it. Mm-hmm. And our question is, what happens next? You know, because you got to keep going. This is done. Watch a little film. You can practice for seven, eight days of these nine. You got to wait and you know, how's your attitude? How's your work ethic going to be here?
How do you respond to it?
Exactly.
Do you go to work?
Big question.
Do you go to work or do you?
These guys will go to work.
I think they will too.
They've won 22 games. They've got some tournament ahead of them. They look like a tight group that cares about each other. You know, and you talked a little bit earlier about, you know, a little palms up today, a little bit of bickering with the officials. That's competitiveness and frustration with these guys. They weren't in that position a lot this year. And you get down early in the biggest game of your year.
Yeah.
You know, and then Coach Miles is working, and he wants it worse than anybody, and these players want it worse than anybody. That frustration shows sometimes with officials and gets away from you a little bit sometimes.
They want it so bad. Will they return to see it through? They being, pick some guys, James Palmer Jr., transfer, Copeland. And I have reached out to some folks I know at the NBA, and they really respect the talent level on this team. They don't know how it translates to the NBA. So it's not like you've got some first round. It's not like there's a Lou on this team that's going to be a top 15 pick, or a Pikowski on this team, or a Farmer that's, all right, he didn't get drafted, but could have, should have, would have been drafted. Vincent, those type guys. Can this team stay together, and can they stay together and then thrive as a favorite? Because this year, a lot of the underdog kind of disrespect angle was played, I believe, and that's fine with me, man. It worked, and you the pressure was off of you in some really big games because of how you approached it. Well, next year, I look at Indiana and go, wow. I look at Michigan and go, Beeline's too good. Penn State will lose a lot, so they may go back to being Penn State.
Even Iowa was good. Iowa's young players were good.
Scary.
Yeah, they are.
Iowa's so scary with their offense. I think Sparty's going to be way different because likely they'll lose some dudes, and who knows what's looming. Ohio State's pretty freaking impressive, especially in year one with what they did. So what comes back? What do you have to sell it, or do you think this team will say, let's finish it right next year? And I'm not discounting whatever postseason they have now, but really the carrot for you has been the NCAA tournament the last 6 to 8 weeks. If you're as a Nebraska fan and these players, it's what they wanted. What do you do now to make sure this thing returns intact? Different group, different mindset, different attitude. You're not having four guys transfer, but even one puzzle piece, Jordy.
I was going to bring Jordy up too because I watched this game. Yeah. Jordy doesn't get to play a lot in this game. It's just really not his type of game.
And it's a bad matchup for him.
But I hope Jordy has made that commitment because you saw a few games where Penn State, we didn't have him there, but we had him here. He hits a couple jump hooks, gets a couple big rebounds, offensive putbacks, points in the paint. There are games when he is going to be valuable, and he's only going to get better. You know, he came off an injury in the offseason. He's going to get better. I hope Jordy's committed. Coach Miles invests a lot in him. These guys did. So I hope he's committed. You know, looking at Palmer, I'm sure people are wondering if does he try it? Does he try to go out? But the one thing I look at, you got to be able to shoot the ball in the NBA. He shot 32% this year from the three. And I think you got to be better than that. And sometimes those guys develop after they get there because that's all they do for a living is shoot the ball. Like I said, I went to that Cavaliers practice, and those guys are shooting an hour before practice and an hour after. They have their individual guy that works with them. If you're going to get better doing that, I would hope that these guys are going to look at each other in the eye and say, we can do something special. We can be that first team to win an NCAA tournament game and beyond. Here, you know, can Thomas Allen take Evan Taylor's role and maybe shoot the ball a little better than
Evan
Taylor did?
Evan's your heartbeat. He's your heart edge.
I know
he's your nose, man.
But you've got guys coming back that can step into that leadership role. I love what Evan's another guy that gave up some individual for the team, right? But I think you had to have Gil on the floor to stretch the defense a little bit better because Gil was on fire
at points.
Off the bench.
Yeah.
I kind of wondered if Coach Miles might bring him back off the bench again to kind of get him going, but he could sit in that corner and you had to guard him, especially when he was rolling, you know, and I think that's why they started him late, you know, the last, what, third of the season.
Yeah.
So
there's a lot of shots that didn't drop for him or Glenn that could have, and we'll see how Nebraska responds. We're winding down this first hour here at Longwell's Roadshow Friday. The watch party was incredible except for the result. We're commiserating together here at Longwell's. The coach, Jeff Smith, Chris Schmidt, it's Hail Varsity Radio, presented by the Nebraska Lottery.
And now, back to Hail Varsity Radio.
Winding down hour one here at Longwell's, down in the rail yard at Hail Varsity Radio Roadshow. Nebraska falling to Michigan. How do the tourney hopes look for Nebraska? Can you come up with a better word than bleak that's appropriate for radio? Can tweet at us at Schmidt_radio or at Hail Varsity. Can email Chris@HailVarsity.com. Sauter Heyman might make you feel better. My wife texted me here before we got the show rolling at 4 and had the old sad face. And how about them Huskers? She was upset. She was heartbroken, quite honestly. But she said she wants to go to Sauter Heyman to feel better. I said, we'll talk about it this weekend. Rick can make you feel better. And for sure, have something that your wife, girlfriend, significant other will love. And they're the exclusive dealer of pure-grown diamonds in Nebraska. 100% real diamonds grown in a lab instead of mined from the earth. They're eco-friendly. They're 100% sustainable. They are beautiful. They're 10 to 40% less West End Traditional Earth Mine Diamonds. Come see why they're beautiful and lovely and special. And your exclusive dealer, Sauter Heyman. Pure Grown Diamonds, 12th and O, downtown Lincoln. South Point Pavilion, Lincoln. Or out west in Grand Island, SauterHeyman.com. Coach, you mentioned your trip to Cleveland with Coach Ty. And one of the personalities you have to deal with, one of many, is kind of that that shooting guard that doesn't remember a miss. Well, the reason for the suspension of J.R. Smith revealed to Windhorst of ESPN.com. Well, apparently, J.R. threw a bowl of soup at Cavs assistant Damon Jones. there's a wonderful...
Was it chicken soup?
I don't know, but the soup Nazi picture is up with JR's face on it. No soup for you. So
perfect.
The dodging of soup, is that something that can maybe help JR focus in? Should Nebraska think about it next time they play Michigan?
Throw the soup.
Dodging soup. It's like a defender closing out on you.
It might be a new workout regime. Could be.
Can you imagine that as a coach? I mean, you can get heated with players, but man, to have someone just say, take the broth too.
Hope it was cooled off at least.
Right.
JR can be a little volatile, I believe. But he can play. He can play
too.
The way
you're looking at me and blinking, going, a little volatile.
LeBron likes him though, so that's all that matters.
That's right. That's about right.
I'll tell you what, those practices, I've never seen a man do what LeBron does in practice, is just leading. They did a scouting report. They were going in their first game. They did a scouting report. They were playing, I believe it was the Knicks. Mm-hmm. So one of the lead scouts comes in and he's showing them some stuff. And LeBron just takes over the scouting report basically. He knows every single player on that team, what their tendencies are, what they're going to run. Carmelo was still with the Knicks, so he was telling the guys about what to do with Carmelo and how to get in his head a little bit. It was amazing. That guy was, I turned into a big, big fan just because you get to see what they really are like. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was awesome.
That's impressive. Well, Nebraska will try and bounce back. We'll see what their fate is. 9 days awaiting. Have you moved on, or how are you going to spend it as a Nebraska fan? Coach Jeff Smith, Chris Schmidt, hour two coming up. We'll have the Friday forecast, some games. Danny, the Pride of Chicago, Burke is picked out at 5:40. Dr. Petey, Derek Peterson will join us as we are here at Longwells. Come enjoy the state tournament down here at Longwells. Down in the rail yard, hour two coming up with Hail Varsity Radio.
Welcome to Hail Varsity Radio, the voice of Husker Nation. Insight, opinion, expertise, with the biggest and best names talking Nebraska across the state. Join the show on Twitter at Hail Varsity and at Schmitz_radio. Call in at 402-466-ESPN or 1-800-825-5865. Here's Chris Schmitz.
And the coach, Jeff Smith, we're here at Longwells, a incredible watch party down here in the rail yard. A tough result. For Nebraska. Chris Schmidt, the coach, Jeff Smith, Hail Varsity Radio. Can find us on Twitter at Schmidt_radio, at Hail Varsity. Nicole Arbeck is at the press conference, and we'll get into some of Tim Miles' quotes. Who is you got a fan club here, Coach.
Yeah, right.
You do.
I'm so old, I just know a lot of people.
No, I think it's a fan club. But Jeff Smith is here. We'll have Lincoln East here around 7 o'clock tonight on ESPN Lincoln for girls state tournament coverage. Derek Peterson's coming up in about 20 minutes with HailVarsity.com. Derek's done an incredible job covering Nebraska basketball this season. So is Jacob Padilla. And we'll get caught up with Derek here. So deflating loss, awful loss, soul-crushing loss. I mean, go through the adjectives of what it is. And let's start with this. Coach Miles in the post game, and we have Danny working on trying to get some of that audio. And if not, we'll have it for you tomorrow for the weekend edition of Hail Varsity. But Coach Miles breaking down Nebraska's schedule, and Nicole Arbeck, she'll be with us on Monday from The Athletic, formerly of USA Today. But Miles breaking down Nebraska's schedule game by game to make a case for their resume, to make a case for Nebraska being in the NCAA tournament. That's the question. That was a great write-up by Derek heading into today's action. You know, you need to make a case. And you got eye test versus resume, and we've worn this poor thing out for 3 weeks. Yes, they look like a tournament team. Yes, they play like a tournament team. But no, today they did not perform like a tournament team. So you have the schedule, you have the resume, you have the Big Ten schedule being kind of wacky. You have UCF, you have the Kansas game, but it just isn't a case that's very strong. Based on anything but how they look, and they looked awful in parts today. They looked un-Nebraska-like. They looked like a Nebraska team that wasn't playing at home. And I have no disrespect for this team, this group of guys, this 22-win season. I think they're phenomenal. They are a pure joy to watch. Miles also believes that, look, he ran into a buzzsaw against Michigan, but he believes they're an NCAA team. I don't think that takes anything away from what we've done. So, do you still believe they're an NCAA team? Let's take out the fact that the committee's probably going to put the hammer down on them here in 9 days. Do you still think they are an NCAA tournament team? Or did that put a nail in the coffin here, this Michigan loss? And I think they could stack up against some SEC teams. I think they could stack up against the Pac-12. I think they played well in the Big Ten. But they are a different team at home, and you are. But when it comes to neutral and poise away from home, it was just tough to watch. I think the way they competed today was valiant, but the way they executed was not. And I think that is what's going to be the lasting image walking away from a tournament committee member if he's in New York City watching. All that said, if Michigan wins the whole thing, that makes you look a lot better. Michigan did it last year. They get hot, they can do it. But Coach, I'll ask you, tournament team, yes or no?
Well, today, emotionally, it's hard to sit here and, after watching that, and say,
sure,
because you're down.
Not?
You're
yeah.
down, and, you know, I want to believe the pundits that say we won that many conference games, and we won 22 games, and we were fourth in the Big Ten, and the fourth team always gets in the Big Ten, and the teams that have won that many conference games always get into the NCAA tournament. I want to believe that, but right now I just can't be that optimistic.
No,
so
I mean you
maybe
can't,
maybe time will be good for us. You know, that to step away from this game a little bit, and the committee will be looking at other things. They come back and look at our overall season. I think that the tournament we went down to and lost to UCF, if we could have beat UCF
and got
to play some better teams, that would have helped us a lot too. That was kind of crucial, I think, in our season. I don't know. I just can't. I mean, my heart's telling me no, we're not in. Mm-hmm. I hate saying that. I listened to Jake after the broadcast of the last home game, and you know, he's like, "We're in, we're in." And I wanted to believe him, but I can't right now. I just can't say that.
I can't say it either. And there's so much hate. I don't want to say hate, but there's so much.
There's skepticism,
negativity,
you know,
and
people
with the
just aren't going to believe until it happens. There's some people that are never going to believe in Nebraska basketball until we get in the NCAA tournament and we win a game or two. Just they're just not, and that's not fair. I don't think.
No, I mean they're doing work, and Miles put a great roster together. We'll spend a minute or two on what needs to happen with the remaining opportunity for Nebraska. Derek Peterson coming up in 15 minutes to Hail Varsity. Russ is on the line. Let's try this out here, Danny. Russ, go ahead.
Hey, thanks for taking my call. Can you hear me?
Danny, I'm not hearing him, brother.
Hello? Can you hear me? Hello?
Well, Russ, just shout. I'm kidding. Well, we'll try and figure that out.
Keep working on it, Danny.
Yeah, Danny, put the sub sandwich. I'm kidding. You're working hard back there in the studio, Danny.
Hey, I also want to go back to look at, you know, I watched a little last Michigan's game. Mm-hmm. They didn't play that great last night. I was actually hoping for Iowa because I knew we could beat Iowa and score 90 points or 95 on them. But because I want to just get a win and then
just
take a shot at Michigan State.
I was so skeptical. I mean, I honestly thought, man, that Nebraska needed two. They needed Michigan. Yeah. They needed Michigan State.
I didn't care because I thought if they got Michigan State, they were in anyway.
Count. Okay.
Yeah, you got another win if you beat Iowa. I was pulling for Iowa big time, to be honest with you.
They're fun to watch.
I mean, how many times have we beaten Michigan?
Once.
One good
in
one
the
here.
History of moving into this neighborhood.
Yeah. And there's certain matchups that certain systems against certain systems don't work real well sometimes. I don't know if that's the case here, but I think Coach Miles at one time said I'd maybe rather be the fifth seed and play that game.
He did. He said that before they left.
I think
for
he kind of knew
Penn State
that could be an advantage, and I agreed with him, to be honest with you. I mean, you want to be fourth in the league and you want to win every game, but that wouldn't have been bad to play that game and get your feet under you. I think that's what Michigan did. And to go from making three threes to what they did today, that's a big difference. And they looked like a different team than they did yesterday.
Okay, what can you do with the rest of the season if you're Nebraska and Tim Miles? And how can that springboard you next year? And you've seen teams do well after getting snubbed or left out of the NCAA, come back. What do you think can happen, will happen, should happen, needs to happen for Nebraska with what's ahead?
Well, we're going to get into a tournament. We hope it's the big dance. But either way, Nebraska, these guys have to win a tournament game or two or three or go win the NIT. If you're in it, go win it, right? But I think this is probably a bad analogy. I coached golf for a while at Southeast, and we had some really young, talented kids. And their junior year, we were pretty good, but not there yet. We go to a really tough district at a tough course in Grand Island. We squeak in. We go to state, play okay. The senior year of those kids, we won a state championship, not because of my coaching at all, because these kids worked their butts off. And they had that tournament experience. So even if we're setting ourselves up for next year and we get in the NIT, go win some games and put your attitude on and wrinkle the nose and get after the NIT and do as well as you can. Because it's that tournament experience is invaluable. Michigan won the tournament last year, right?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it showed a little bit today. They're ready for this tournament.
They are.
So I think it's just crucial that we, if we're in NIT, that we go after that thing.
It seems like there's two mindsets. I mean, and it's centered around your talent level first and foremost. But there's the house money angle, okay? You know what? Let's just go let it all hang out and not worry about it. Let's just go play ball. Or two, we've been here and we know we're damn good. So let's just go maul somebody, kind of like Sparty, and then the third example is Ethan Happ and kind of the no names around him or the injury situation Wisconsin's in. But it is so interesting to be button pusher and psychologist along with taskmaster as a coach to get a group of kids ready for that end goal that you're trying to get there for, having to you spent this year with, we have some talent. Nebraska's been pretty good. Play the underdog card. Great. Now the next step is, as a favorite, handling that, but also being able to be poised when you're uncomfortable in a place like Madison Square Garden, or you're on the road at Ohio State in some closing moments. That's what Nebraska changed into. They went from a team that didn't close it against Kansas, that didn't close it against Creighton, that took those bumps and closed on the road against some teams that, they're better and, but you still got to close it. And they, for sure, never let anything slip through their fingers at PBA this year. Now can you grow like Roby's game, right? It's jumped. Can you grow as a team and find a way to finish things off away from home and at neutral site venues?
And this team had to have some time to evolve. They didn't know their roles coming into this season. I didn't know how good James Palmer was. They probably did, but still, he had to prove that in crunch time situations that he could get to the rim and make plays. And I don't think everybody knew all the parts of how they were going to fit together. So some of those early losses, they're still experimenting with the lineup. They're still developing their roles. towards the end of the season, everybody knew James Palmer at the end of the game was going to make plays for us, right? And Copeland was going to hit some threes for us. And Gill was going to spot up in the corner. And if you leave him, he's going to knock threes down. But that wasn't quite set early in the season. That's the only problem with guys leaving and you're coming in with a new roster. And that's why we're praying.
You got to start all over again.
Exactly. That's why we're praying. Now, I've heard a stat that in a player's career, their 4 or 5 year career, 50%, I should look it up and make sure I'm telling the gospel here, but 50% of players transfer during their career in college basketball right now. So what are the odds this team stays together?
Well, and Coach Miles hasn't had a team stay together. And it's not been one, but it's been a mass exodus at times. I mean, not every year has been last year where you lose three. This from Tim Miles. Miles, again, believes that Nebraska should be a tournament team, said Nebraska is in that quality. Michigan played outstanding. Not that many teams would have beaten them today. I don't know.
Yeah, you got a campaign, right? We all want to. I'll go tell the NCAA committee, give us a shot this year because these guys played together and look at our improvement. Look at our, record in the Big Ten. I'd love it if we get in. And I think Coach Miles, that's all he should do right now is back his team and push for them to get in. That's what you got to do. And like I said, some of this disappointment of today's loss is just, it's like a hangover. So we got to get over this hangover and then maybe some optimism will come back in that we have a chance. I don't know.
No, I think so. From an optimism standpoint, that's kind of where you got to turn as a Nebraska fan to, the NIT is not something you were considering, were interested in, were that down with. Fine. But it's going to be your reality.
Yeah.
So it's time to make some chicken salad here.
Yeah.
If you're Nebraska, and I love what you said, and I think you're right. Go, while it's not the tournament, it's a tournament, and go put some experience together and get some wins, and figure out how to play away from home in some neutral sites much better than you have.
And you mentioned something earlier too, and that I think is going to be really, really important. You talked about the favorite role and how that should definitely change that we are.
That's such a crazy dynamic,
kind of a hunted
isn't it?
Team next year.
Yeah.
People are going to know that we are a team that has a chance to be really good, and they're going to study us a little bit in the offseason, and we will be targeted. And that is that's a different animal when you are approaching games and underdogs are trying to knock you off.
Can you apply – it's a bit of a different dynamic, but – the fact that Nebraska had to be darn near perfect. I mean, they lost to Illinois, and then it was tight against Maryland, and the situation. You know how they had to kind of navigate their final 10 games, 7-3. Can you apply that experience to the favorite role? I mean, you're the favorite because you're better than Rutgers and better than Illinois, and you're better than Maryland at home, theoretically, even if Vegas didn't think so. But you've lived that once already where you have zero margin for error. Well, apply that same type of build-up margin for error-wise to be in the team. To be in the team that, all right, needs to go 10-6 or better in a much better Big Ten next year.
Yeah, and I do think there were some games this year that they, down the stretch, they took control. And that was a little different, a lot different from the year before. And I think that can be really valuable for this team. I think they showed that they aren't afraid to be the favorite and make plays and pull together and get some stops. I thought the Penn State game, defensively, they were fantastic. I thought defense won that game for us.
Absolutely. And defense won the game for them the first time against Michigan.
Well,
I don't think the intensity was off. It just wasn't the same.
Yeah.
Just wasn't the same. A quick timeout. We're down here at Longwell's ahead of Girls State semifinal Friday. Chris Schmidt, the coach, Jeff Smith, and we will try and connect with Derek Peterson of HaleVarsity.com and magazine, get his take on Nebraska's loss to Michigan, what stuck out to Dr. Petey. We'll talk a little NCAA tournament and where Nebraska goes from here. You're listening to Hale Varsity Radio here live at Longwell's, presented by the Nebraska Lottery.
And now,
back to Hail Varsity Radio.
Back with you, Hail Varsity Radio, presented by the Nebraska Lottery. Chris Schmidt, the coach, Jeff Smith, as we're here at Longwells across from PBA as it's semifinal Friday. We'll have the Lincoln East girls coming up at 7 o'clock on ESPN. Lincoln, let's bring in Derek Peterson of HailVarsity.com and magazine at Dr. PD 15. Derek, you did a great job of covering this team this season, you and Jacob Padilla. What were you expecting from Nebraska basketball heading into today and your reaction to the result?
Well, first of all, I appreciate that. It was a fun season. I was not expecting what we got. I thought that they needed to win at least one and get to Saturday and possibly win Saturday. I was not expecting them to come out the way that they came out. It just, it seemed tight. It seemed like for the first time really on this run.
And we're not getting Dr. Petey.
Got to them.
That's unfortunate.
That's too bad. Because I am no doctor.
No, but we can play one on the radio. Derek, we're having some technical issues with a phone. So I will for sure apologize about this appearance for you. We will try and contact you again, okay? Nod if you can hear me. Love you much. Okay, so here's what you need to do. You need to read Derek Peterson, HailVarsity.com and magazine at DrPD15 on Twitter. Here's what I'm going to chalk it up to. Danny's distraught. Danny put a lot of Skittles on Michigan to lose. And Danny spilled something on the control board.
What was the line was Michigan?
4.5.
Four and a half. Yeah.
Favorite. Yep.
I hate to say it, Vegas is rarely wrong.
They aren't.
That's why I don't bet.
Just stay away from your friend who has lots of money, kids down the hall in the dorm, unless you're right. Yeah. Let's spend a few minutes here, Coach, on just what you kind of gleaned with your experience at Nebraska as an assistant with Coach Nee in the tournament runs. The type of recruiting that you see now and that you participated in then to bring kids in to be a tournament caliber team with athletes in the Big 8, the Big 12. Let's start there with talent. Let's start there with the tournament goal. And then just dealing with those moments that you guys were pretty much in, but you were always kind of striving to be better than an 8, 9, or a 10 seed. You were a 3 seed in the early 90s. So when you get to that point here, there's an expectation. But was there a lot of stress throughout the year? How did you guys manage all of it? I mean, there's a lot of questions in there, but just the whole process of becoming a tournament team year in, year out, I mean, that's what everyone points back to. People smile about it. And that's what Nebraska fans want Coach Miles and this group to kind of become. They want that to be a regular slash pretty normal situation versus a drought for almost 20 years.
Yeah, our thing was we felt like back then we had to have three pros. We had to have three guys for us to be able to compete in the conference, which was the Big 8 back then, pretty good.
Really good conference.
And get the NCAA tournament. We had to have three pros on the roster. That was Coach Nee's thing all the time. And I remember when I was wet behind the ears, pretty young, and thinking, this is Nebraska. Can we get three pros in here? But he was right, though. When we had that level of athlete, now we got a little lucky because we had Strickland and, you know, Chubbuck and Piakowski, all local, King, Rich King. They're all local guys that were still top 100 recruits, but we could get them because they were here. And then you go get a Tony Farmer and those guys. And there was a couple of those teams. We had more than three pros on there that got some professional basketball in after their career at Nebraska. But that's, I don't think it's any different today. We got to have guys who can play in the NBA here to compete for a Big Ten championship. There's no doubt about it. And, you know, if Palmer's that kind of a guy, if Roby can evolve into that kind of a guy, if Cope can keep improving. I don't know if those guys are all pros, but they're getting there, that close to that level. And then, yes, there was pressure every game. We're playing Stacey King and Mookie Blaylock, and, you know, we're that big country down Oklahoma State.
Yeah.
But we had a chance to you know, get some really good ratings, RPI stuff, which wasn't the biggest thing back then, but you beat big country here when they were number two in the country, and we had a lot of opportunities to play those top 20 teams. So, number one, you're going to get better from it, in which it would have been nice if this team could have played, like we said, Michigan State another time and Purdue, because you're going to get better from playing those teams, you know, and we didn't have that many opportunities this year to improve against the top 20, 25 teams. And that's going to help you improve more than playing, you know, the 50 RPI team or the 80 RPI team, because you're going to get that, you're going to get that awakening to, what do I have to do to get to this level here?
Mm-hmm.
So we took advantage of playing that kind of schedule, but there was tremendous pressure every game, you know, to inspect. And then you go to non-conference where you better win all but maybe one of those if you can, to have a chance to get in the tournament.
You guys were extremely aggressive, and Coach Miles has been very aggressive. Even going back to Colorado State, I remember they went and played at Duke the year that he, you know, built up and they got in the tournament. You guys, I mean, you were in Puerto Rico, you were in Hawaii, you played the Fab Five. You played Michigan State with Respert or Steve Smith.
Yep, Steve Smith.
You had a built-in, it seemed always like OU or Okie State were tournament good. You had Kansas. K-State was fringe. Billups in Colorado popped up for a little while.
Iowa State, when they were pretty good.
Yeah, Hoiberg and Julius, we always called him Take a Leak instead of Make a Leak. Big Pasta. I mean, you had some squads.
Yeah,
and to finish fourth was, wow.
Yeah.
Are you taken aback at the Big Ten's reputation this season?
A little bit, yeah. I think the Big Ten is a little more even than people think. And, there, you know, but again, there were some teams that Wisconsin had to reinvent or re-evolve themselves. Northwestern probably was maybe the biggest disappointment. I think they
came in preseason top 25 with everyone back.
Yeah.
Again, playing as a favorite, as a hunted.
And we got to play him when McIntosh was out, which I love that kid. He's got some really good savvy as a point guard and can score for him. But they were kind of a disappointment. I think they were supposed to represent the league a little better than they did. But yeah, it's the math, going back to Dan Doherty at Southeast, the math is so good now with the RPI ratings. I don't think they're that far off saying we're maybe the sixth best conference in the country, you know. I think those early season games kind of prove that. But the Big Ten had a lot of restructuring to do team-wise. Nebraska did, Wisconsin did. And there was, you know, Rutgers is still trying to grow a little bit. Maryland was a little disappointing, too. They were
kind of in Nebraska's situation that they lost all of their validation. I mean, they lost all of them, and they lost them close at home and on the road. I mean, they were within one or two of Michigan on the road. They were within Purdue twice. They were within 10 or 12 to Sparty. And they were within four in Lincoln.
Yeah.
The thing here that I'm going to ask is, and this is a Hail Mary with talking NCAA tournament in Nebraska, but can you find 40 round up? But there's 36 at large teams. Can you find 36 to 40 teams better than Nebraska?
I don't know if there are, but I don't know if they're going to recognize that. And we're going to have all the favorites win, you know. I think they were talking about Middle Tennessee State the other day needs to win their, you know, they can't let Western Kentucky or somebody like that upset them in their conference, because that's going to take a spot.
Yep. Oklahoma's a weirdo this year.
They're almost frustrating because they're just, you know, they won those early games and now they can't beat anybody. But everybody's saying they're in with 16 wins. That's frustrating for a fan like fans like us.
And then there's Texas at 18 and 14.
Yeah, that's the power of leagues a little bit, you know. And we just don't have that powerful of a league according to the numbers.
I'm going to say this, too. Nebraska didn't play well today. Michigan played well today. It's a bad last visual for the committee if you're a Nebraska fan. But this shouldn't just all be on Nebraska. Yeah, did you miss an opportunity today that you had to shut everyone up? Absolutely. But if you're the Big Ten and you're Commissioner Delaney and you're doing all this screwy scheduling and you're doing this for the name of Madison Square Garden that's half empty, that's on you, Big Ten, that your number four team at 13-5 can't get in.
Yeah, I would think Delaney's, he's got a campaign. He's got,
well,
I hope
it's,
he has
it's,
a
it's going to be steak dinner for you and nine of your friends, Mr. Rasmussen, with Bill Moose and Big Jimbo.
Yeah,
at Omaha and Lincoln's finest.
That's right. Yeah, go, yeah, take him to Ruth Chris somewhere or something because you're going to have to.
Here's the thing: there are few better closers than Moose Alert. So yeah. Moose will be lobbing some phone calls the next 9 days.
Yeah, you got to. You got to.
Did you ever have any interaction? We only have a couple minutes here. This will carry over. But did you ever have any interaction or feeling with the committee? How did that work with you guys on staff and Coach Knee? Did he call you into a meeting and say, well, we just beat Billy Tubbs in his comb over, so we're good? Or, damn, we better get a couple in KC.
There wasn't a lot. I think we always felt
you knew
like
what you had to do.
Yeah, and I think Coach Miles kind of said it too. We just got to worry about the games ahead of us, and you know we can't think about are we in, are we not in, do we have to win this one?
I think that's how the notice that everyone felt that here in the state of Nebraska today. Some feel that okay, they're in no matter what. That I don't believe that.
You go to that tournament,
and you look at the team though.
Yeah.
The way they reacted after the loss or walking off the court, they knew it.
Yeah, you go to that tournament to win that tournament. That's every tournament we went to, Big Eight. It was we got to go win that tournament. That's all we wanted the kids to think about.
That is Coach Jeff Smith, Chris Schmidt, Hail Varsity Radio on the road. We're talking a lot of Nebraska basketball today as we're at Longwell's, an incredible watch party. The game didn't go the way many Nebraska fans wanted. We'll have more state basketball coverage at 7 with Lincoln East, but we're sifting through what could have been for the Big Red with a win against Michigan today. A quick timeout. We'll have a Friday forecast coming up shortly. More thoughts with Coach Jeff Smith. Chris Schmidt, Hail Varsity continues, presented by the Nebraska Lottery.
And now, back to Hail Varsity Radio.
Great to have you back. Hail Varsity Radio, presented by the Nebraska Lottery. Chris Schmidt, the coach, Jeff Smith, longtime Hall of Famer, Lincoln Southeast, and assistant with Coach Knee at Nebraska. Tough one today for Nebraska. Friday forecast coming up as Danny Burke will give us some teams and some names. The forecast presented by Gamblers Assistance Program, the Nebraska Council on Compulsive Gambling, and Choices Treatment Center. If you or someone you love has a problem with gambling, call the statewide helpline, 800-522-4700. Danny, do we have you?
Yes, you got me.
Okay, turn our NFL Films favorite track down just a touch.
All right, how are we sounding now? Sounding better?
We'll make it work. you called me out on Twitter.
Yep.
You said, Schmidt, I need your prediction. And I said, Nebraska what? By 74-71, something like that?
Yeah, I think it was like 74-70. No, yeah, I think that's what it was. 74-71 Nebraska. And then I also responded. I was like, all right, he's going with Nebraska. Then I got to ride with him, too. I said 68-66. Both a rough pick for us and the whole fan base.
Okay, I'm going to be real honest with you, Danny. I'm hearing faint bits of hope from you with the music bed. We'll go forward here. Here's how it's going to work. Oh, this will be absolutely boring with no music. Try it now, Danny.
All right. Does it sound better?
Yeah, this is way better.
Okay.
Okay, so I'm going to ask you a real personal question. When you wrote these picks out, Rutgers v. Purdue, West Virginia v. Texas, Kentucky, Florida, did you write with your mouth or did you use your hand to write?
The
handwriting's pretty awful. Did you use your toes?
No. See, the funny thing is I was actually trying when I was sending these to you because I wanted you to be able to read them. And now I just feel even worse about it.
Well, we still love you. It's okay.
Danny, I want some One Shining Moment instead of the NFL film song. Come on.
Ooh, that's a good idea. Yeah, you got to have that for March.
I suppose.
Yeah.
We're getting there.
Okay, let's start with Rutgers, Purdue, minus 14 and a half for Purdue. Purdue escaped with their lives from Piscataway.
That's right. Purdue
won
by two.
That being said, the glass slipper still doesn't fit Rutgers. It's going to be all Purdue, and they'll be able to go inside and do some work. I think they win. I think Rutgers covers. Give me Purdue 80, Rutgers 70, 10-point win for Purdue. Coach?
I'm with you on Rutgers covering there. Matt Painter came in and recruited Matt Hill.
Oh, did he? Okay.
Love that guy. He's,
yeah.
In fact, he had a year to just recruit when Gene Cady was finishing up, so he was going on.
Okay.
I would have loved to send Matt there because he's a big man coach, obviously, and their bigs will make the difference in this game. I'm going to go a little lower, though, because, again, first round of tournament for Purdue. So I'll say about 72 to 60, about 12-point win.
All right, so it'll just sneak in there. Danny, what do you say?
Yeah, so Purdue only won by two against Rutgers previously. I think 14.5 is really high. Rutgers got the kind of home court advantage. I'm going to take Rutgers to cover, obviously Purdue with the win. I'm going to have Purdue 78, Rutgers 66.
Okay, you sound sure about that one. West Virginia minus six at Texas. Texas fighting for their lives. We've got the endorsement from Dickie V, baby. I think Huggy Bear is going to walk into Austin, turn his nose up, avoid the treadmill, and get a win. I like West Virginia to make this happen. And I like West Virginia, Press Virginia, to be very locked in for this one. West Virginia 68, Texas 60, a win and a cover for the Mountaineers. Coach?
I think Texas is going to cover that 6 points also, but I'm going overtime.
West Virginia. Going with Texas in the points?
No, I'm going West Virginia by two.
Ooh, okay.
They'll score some points.
Okay.
So we're going to go 75-73 in overtime, West Virginia.
Okay. Danny, what do you say?
All right. I also think Texas is going to cover here playing at home. West Virginia did kick their butts earlier, 86-51, but that was in West Virginia. I think Texas is going to come out on this one, West Virginia, 64-59.
Okay. We're going to move on to Kentucky at Florida. Florida's got to have this. They're one of those 20-10 hovering teams. The world loves the SEC this year. I like Kentucky. I think it'll be that tight. But I think the Cats find a way. They've already won at West Virginia this year. So I think going into the swamp, they'll find a way. 72-70. Give me Kentucky at Florida. Coach, what do you think?
I like Florida at home. I think the home, and they got to get a win. So I'm going to take Florida in a close one. I'm going to go 79-78, Florida.
All right.
And Danny, what do you say?
Yeah, so Florida beat Kentucky at home earlier, 66-64. Kentucky has screwed me a lot this year. I think they're kind of overrated. Granted, they've been playing hot. I like Florida at home as well. I'm going to take Florida 74-71 over Kentucky.
All right, Danny, always honest. They have hosed me several times. Clemson minus 4.5 at Syracuse. This is a kind of a bubble burst game. Syracuse and old Boeheim, man. I remember when Syracuse got left out. I remember when Syracuse got included, and it was Final Four time. How long ago was that? Did they get to the Final Four?
That's been a while.
About 7 years?
That's a good question.
About right? I don't know. We'll have to have Danny Google that. But give me Syracuse. I just think they'll win at home. They'll win at the Dome. Clemson's been really good this year, and they've been really, really solid on the road. Not Virginia good on the road, mind you, but almost. So I think Syracuse wins, and I'll take Cuse in the Dome and points, 4.5. Give me Syracuse 62-60 over Clemson. Coach?
I can't go against Jim Boeheim. They're going to play the big 2-3 zone, make it a little tough on Clemson. That zone's going to keep it a little lower scoring. So I'm going 70-65 Syracuse.
Okay. Danny, what do you think?
All right. I also like Syracuse at home covering that 4.5 spread. I got Syracuse 76, Clemson 73.
All right. And we'll wrap up here with Kansas at Oklahoma State. Kansas playing great ball. You would think that maybe they get a little complacent already having things kind of locked in. But they remember Okie State rolling into Lawrence this year and winning. They will smack the Cowboys and do it thoroughly. Give me Kansas 80-65 over Oklahoma State. Coach?
I agree. Bill Self was an assistant when I was at Nebraska. Bill okay. Self was at Okie State. He's an Okie State grad. I think he loves going back into Stillwater and kicking some booty.
Uh-huh.
And I think they are playing really well. Graham is on fire right now. So I'll take Kansas. I'm going to go by 10, 85-75.
All right, really.
Danny, you're up.
Really quick here. Oklahoma State beat them earlier, 84-79. Oklahoma State's got some nice upsets this year. I'm going to take Kansas, though, to win 80-75. Oklahoma State covers.
That'll do it for the forecast. We'll say goodbye next from Long Wells.
And we're back.
Fellas, you think we could listen to the radio?
On Hail Varsity Radio, presented by the Nebraska Lottery.
Yes! That's awesome!
Find out here at Logwell's watch party Friday as Nebraska fell to Michigan. 9 days of sweating, waiting, or maybe you're just like coming to terms that the NIT is very likely. Chris Schmidt and the coach, Jeff Smith, hope you're well. And thanks for spending time with us today as we are on the road here for Hail Varsity Radio. Coming up at 7, we will have Lincoln East, the girls against Millard South for the semis in State 2018. A message from your friends at AgriGold. You may have noticed a different soybean sign in your neighbor's fields this year. That's AgriGold. Our customers now have access to select soybean varieties direct to their farm the AgriGold way, with high expectations for every seed that goes into the ground. And our approach to soybeans, no different. High-performance soybeans from a brand you already know. For more info, visit AgriGold.com. Big thanks to Danny Burke, the pride of Chicago, Casino Danny, for navigating.
Go Bears.
Back at the station. I am surrounded by Bears fans. You, Danny Burke, Greg Smith are all
smart people.
Smart.
Well, we're going to get there someday.
You've been not
Trubisky.
That long ago.
Trubisky is the next Brett Favre for the Chicago Bears.
Come on now, that's a little much.
Nope,
you might be better off signing Brett to play. I think he can still do it.
Probably.
All right. Well, Coach, you got a thought at all on Michigan and Sparty tomorrow?
Ooh, I want to watch it. I know that.
Yeah, same here.
You know, we were talking at the break. Michigan is athletic.
Yes.
They can guard people. They guarded us well today. Can they guard Michigan State with that talent, though? That's the question.
Sparty wears me out with their decision-making and their turnovers.
Yeah,
but when they're on, man, they're great.
Yeah, that'll be a great game.
Are you putting Jack for the tournament this year?
I'm taking Michigan.
Okay.
Calling it.
I'm going to go with Junior and Mama Bear and go Sparty.
I've never been to a game at Madison Square Garden. I wish I could have gone to that.
Never been to New York. I got to go.
I got to go to the Garden first because the Celtics are mine.
All right. Yeah.
That's the way it goes.
Yeah. All right.
No, that'll be a good one. I'm anxious to see how Purdue's going to play, too. Because they dropped off a little bit at the end.
Well, and Carson Edwards been hurt.
Right. I don't know. Is he? Have they said if he's 100% yet? Or
I think they're going to play him. But
yeah,
you know how those high ankle things go.
Yeah. Then we're going to want Purdue and Michigan State and those teams to make a good run the NCAA tournament to represent.
Oh, I think 3 out of 4 Final Four spots would be expected.
That'd be nice.
That's pretty good.
That'd be nice.
That's pretty good. Well, you can find the podcast of today's reaction show, Nebraska falling to Michigan in heartbreak fashion. Heartbreaking that it was never there. You went up 9-5 and then the wheels fell off. HailVarsity.com or iTunes. Select portions will be on ESPNLincoln.com. And a reminder to you that Girls State 2018 coming up at 7 o'clock. Myself and Coach Jeff Smith will be on the call. A quick reminder, since you're out and about. If you're texting and driving, there are stupider things to be doing, but that list is short. So behavior's very dangerous when you text and drive for every driver all the time, no matter how safely you think you can do it. You do that texting and driving thing, it's 5 seconds. Well, it's like driving 55 miles per hour, the length of the football field blindfolded, and it increases your crash risk 23 times. It's also illegal. Fines between $100 and $300. So please don't text and drive. A message from the Nebraska Department of Transportation and Highway Safety Office. Coach, you're awesome.
Enjoy
Appreciate
it.
You much. You're
Enjoy
so good.
It, Chris.
Thanks to
good
Danny
time.
Burke. Chris Schmidt will be back at you tomorrow morning, 7 a.m. with the weekend edition of Hail Varsity, presented by the Nebraska Lottery.